by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
I want to begin my message today by asking ourselves some questions. And I'm going to ask my secretary if she would take some notes for those answers to those questions. Danette, if you hear some answers that you think will be beneficial to me, please write them down. And so every year, almost every year since I've been here, you came in here on the first Sunday in January, and there was something up there, and you said, oh, I got a clue, I know what we're going to be doing this year. And then I thought, nah, I'm not going to do it. And then as the year was just starting to come to a close, I was sure as to what I was going to do. I had my whole challenge set out for 2011. That 1,300 miles that I drove to Kansas, you know, there's some time in that that you're just thinking and talking to the Lord. And at one moment, I took my phone out of my pocket. I clicked open the menu pad and I said, here, Danette, write. And I started just telling her the things that the Lord had laid on my heart. And she put them all in here. And when it came time to start putting things together for a new year and a new challenge, it is from those notes that I formulated the theme for today's sermon and for those up and coming. And I didn't even tell you what it is in the bulletin. Because there's a certain amount of element to be surprised. I've been here long enough that people will say, hey, Pastor, I was thinking about 2011, and I have this idea for your theme. And God had a different idea. When one is a pastor, for the period of time that I am the pastor of this church, one begins to ponder and to analyze, where are we at? Where can we go? Am I the person to do it? And I have to be honest, I'm being very honest with you, I've wrestled through that over the last several months. And I am at the conclusion that with God's help, we're going to get it done. I'm there, okay? I don't feel God leading me specifically in any particular direction other than getting it done. The key is, how do we get ourselves to think about where we are and what we're doing? And that's how we're beginning today. Here's some questions. First question, how does a church make an impact in its community? That's the question I'm asking you. You're the one that's going to give me answers. So, tell me, how? Going into the community. Okay. Getting outside of the bricks and mortar. All right. Somebody else? Serving the community. Okay. We do that in some ways through outreach. We do that in some ways through showing love and showing compassion. Here's a second question. If a church is impacting its community, what should the evidence look like?
Transform lives.
Transform lives, okay? That's the way we ought to measure, correct? We can sometimes measure numerically, but that doesn't necessarily mean transformation. So probably the key factor is, are lives being transformed? Okay? So let me ask you this question. How many of you would say that Christ is in the process of transforming your life? Raise your hand. Okay? So he's working. And he's working in our hearts and transforming us to be more and more like His Son. Next question. When a church isn't impacting its community, why do you think that is? Say it louder. Not enough prayer. Okay. What was that, Bella? Okay. Too much internal concern. What else? Finances. That's a big one. I'm reading a book about that right now. And, you know, the author of that book says that one of the things that's crippling most ministries in America is the fact that they only have the finances to get by rather than get moving. Interesting thought. Now, he also said that all of the money that God intends for our ministry here and all ministries, God has given all that money. The problem is it's in your pocket. Ah, come on. All right, next question. What do you think hinders the impact of a church? Sort of leaping on that, Cheryl said people are worried about the inside. Sometimes we get all worried about the building. Oh, watch out for the carpeting or the fingerprint on the wall. That's my pet peeve, as you might know. Let's make it dirty and have to repaint it. Who cares? Let's reach people. Go ahead. Fear of rejection. Fear of talking to somebody and being rejected. Okay? Kevin?
Unmotivated.
All right. What do you think motivates somebody to reach people? What do you think motivates them? Mm-hmm. What else? To realize that lost people are really lost? You know, we sometimes take a complacent look and say, they're not so bad. Lost people are lost. Somebody else. What do you think hinders the impact of a church? Hypocrisy. Okay, people will say, if that's a Christian, forget it. Okay. Somebody else? Louder? Jealousy. Okay. Conflict within. We can lump that. You know, people are jealous, and so they bicker and they turn green with envy and they backbite and they gossip and they do all of these things against each other instead of doing what they ought to be doing together to reach lost people for Jesus. You know, see, this, you know, Satan's very good at that part, in getting us hung up on all kinds of things. We can get hung up on the way we do something and forget that the real impact ought to be reaching other people. Another question. Why do these things hinder or limit impact? This is the real key. We talked about all these things. Why? Biblically, we know these things hinder or limit our impact. Why? Okay, we lose focus on Jesus, and we hinder the work of the Holy Spirit, right? We really do. When we're all out of kilter, we hinder the work of God. We're so unfocused, we're not even depending on the Holy Spirit if we're out of focus to lead us and guide us and to do the things that we need to do. So, last question, who can change it? We all can. The Spirit of God can, and us. When I came here, all of the people that attended this church would have fit in that section. And we've grown, but we kind of like, I don't want to say we're stagnant, but the rate of growth has definitely plateaued. Why? Let me say this. Long time ago, when I was in seminary, as I was pastoring this church, I did a study. And I believe that study still holds true today. There were just a little over 7,000 people in the borough of Tamaqua. Based on church attendance, that's overall church attendance, okay? There are more than 5,000 people in this community who probably do not know the Lord. Now, certainly there's not 2,000 in church on a Sunday morning. Just go ask, we're doing well. Go ask the other congregations how many people are in their churches. Given the fact that there are probably some believers that got fed up with church and just don't go no more, it's safe estimate. There's 5,000 people just in this borough that do not know Christ. And so the real question is, it's not because they're not out there. And I can look around and say, and it's not because people aren't interested in spiritual things. Some of you have come to know Christ within the last 12 to 15 months. All right? It's not that. It's our focus. It can be our impact. It can be just our overall spiritual health. And I agree with you, Colleen. A lot of it's prayer. All right? Because the Spirit of God does the work. He uses us, but the Spirit of God does the work. And so, I want to reveal my challenge for 2011. First of all, the first thing is that we need to be together. All right? Together. And we're going to spend some time looking at what together means. Secondly, zero excuses. You know how when we ask our kids to do something, they can come up with excuses? And you know what? When God asks his kids to do stuff, we're no better. We come up with lots of excuses. Zero excuses. With one heart. One heart. A heart that is focused on God. A heart that is focused on doing what he has called us to do. And one purpose. You see, there's your 2011 for you people that are looking for it. Together, zero excuses, one heart, one purpose equals impact. When we fix our focus and we do the things that we're supposed to be doing, people impact people. And those people impact people. And those people impact people. And those people impact people who impact more people. So, over the next couple of weeks, with the exception of the 23rd, because that day I've invited CareNet to come, and they're going to tell you about their, from the Word of God, they're coming for Sanctity of Life Sunday. And they're going to be sharing from the Word with you that day, and I'm looking forward to being here and being part of that. But over the next several weeks, I've even had to change my preaching calendar because of all this. But we're going to spend some time looking at these things segment by segment. And today we're going to begin by looking at the word together. I have a bunch of together definitions there. I went to Webster, and I thought, what does it really mean to be together? And so, you know, in or into a single group, mass, or place, we gather together. All right, we're here. In association with or in relationship to one another, mutually or reciprocally getting along together. That means we're all in harmony with one another and with God. By joint or cooperative effort, working together. In harmony or accord, unity. emotionally stable, I don't know about that, and effective in performance, meaning having it together. Kind of a up-to-date phrase. And then finally, in tune with what's going on, aware. Now, I don't think Webster's too far off from what it means for a people of God to be together. Working together in unity, working together in the same purpose, working with one accord. That kind of gives us a picture. And Luke, in his book of Acts, gives us a picture of the early church and how the early church worked together. And in working together, people were added to the church daily. They literally turned a world upside down. And you might say, well, that was in the long time ago. People were interested in God. Oh, really? They were not interested in the God of the early church. Trust me. They were more likely to have you burned and killed because you believed. They were not like, oh, gee, let's have church together. If you identified yourself with Christ, the first thing you were done, you were thrown out of the synagogue. I mean, you were just persecuted. It was a difficult time to stand on one's faith. It's difficult today. You take a stand for the Lord, it's hard in the culture in which we live to live daily for Jesus. It's hard in the culture that we live for people to gain acceptance because they're a person of faith. It's very difficult. We live in a world that most of us would say is bent against Christianity. But my friends, we live in a world with the same God and the same Holy Spirit, with the same command to reach people. And so if God's telling us to do something, if we get in tune with Him, I believe He's going to use us. He has in the past. And I believe if we can regain our focus, He's going to help us even more. All right? So, let's take a look at what happened in the book of Acts. So turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 42 to 47. If you have a roast in the stove, you might want to call home and tell them to turn the stove off. All right. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone, do you see that? Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, see that word, and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, very quickly, following your outline, point number one, the early church gathered together for teaching and learning. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were gaining a deeper understanding of who God is and what God's desire was for their lives. They witnessed miracles. Many had witnessed the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. They had received the Holy Spirit. They would be the ones that would proclaim hope to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. These individuals were devoted to the apostles' teaching. That means they were dedicated. And that naughty C word, they were committed to what Christ was telling them to do. One of you out there said that one of the things that hinders growth is hypocrisy. What would you say would people see very much hypocrisy if the people that proclaim Christ would be committed to living the life that they have been called to? I don't think so. It would eliminate it. It with that devotion and that commitment. Our mission is for people to know Christ, to grow in Christ, and to make Christ known. We make efforts, okay? We have many opportunities. You can become part of a discipleship group. You can go to a Bible study. You can come to Sunday school. You can do all kinds of things where there's an opportunity to gain more understanding. But I want to tell you something. Understanding and knowledge is not going to reach the world for Jesus. We need to be committed to it. We need to be understanding. We need to be learning. We need to be all of those things. But Christians that are like great sponges that are filled with water that never squeeze any out are nothing more than full sponges. And so the purpose of gaining understanding is not so when we get to the door of heaven we can recite something. No, it's to transform our lives, to make us useful, to reach other people so they make it to the door in the first place. And so filling our minds with more information and not using it is a worthless exercise. We need to be using it so that there will be benefits. So we're equipped to share, equipped to help others and nurture them along in the faith. The people that gathered in the early church, they spent time together daily. Some people would say that, oh, they lived in a communal arrangement, but really that's not true because they were so outwardly focused, and any commune I know has a fence around it. And so truth is that they were focused outwardly, and they were making an impact, and they were doing it together. Truth two, the early church gathered together for fellowship. They were together, they ate together, they had the Lord's Supper together, they did all kinds of things together centered around the Word, centered around pooling their resources in ways. They did things together to reach the people around them, to help the poor. They built close relationships. They knew one another. My friends, that is a challenge for us sometimes, because we don't know one another. As a pastor, I'll talk to people and I'll say, well, you know so-and-so. And I get a blank stare because most people don't know so-and-so. And so we need to work at building a stronger base of getting to know one another. And they spent time together. They encouraged one another. They nurtured one another in the faith. There was an element of prayer and accountability. We will never be what God intends without relationships, without encouraging one another in the faith, and without some element of accountability. It's very important to our lives, to our spiritual walk. Truth three, the early church gathered together for prayer and support. It says they were devoted to prayer. I sometimes wonder if we're devoted to prayer. What do you think? Do you think we're devoted to prayer? If one represented no prayer at all, and 10 represented, man, there's just no better possibility of being prayerful, what number would you give? Loud. 5. You were going to say 4. So was I. Devoted to prayer. We can do all kinds of things and try to accomplish all kinds of things on our own effort. But really, anything that's done that's going to make a difference is a work of God. And we do pray. We have prayer services. We pray in our church, in our worship service. Our small groups pray. But I'm just not sure that individually we believe that that's a necessary item. Our missionary emphasis called for prayer. Why? Because prayer is lacking. Praying for one another, I think we're pretty good at that. I'm sending out, updates on our prayer chain. People are saying, give me a house so-and-so. And I think that in a lot of ways, there is a good prayer basis when there's a need. We can probably, if I said, rate us in praying for sick people, 1 and 10 being the best, we probably get a 9 or 10. But in general, I don't know for a 5. And so we need to focus more in the area of prayer and praying together. Truth 4. The early church gathered together for service. That means they did things together. They used their talents and their gifts to serve the Lord, to reach out to other people. Statistically, in a church, 20% of the people give 80% of the financial support, and 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Now, you think about that. I won't venture to evaluate where we are there. But I can tell you this. I can safely say that if God's standard is that 100% of the people provide 100% of the finances and 100% of the elbow grease, that everybody does as God intends each individual to do, we're not there. I don't know what anybody gives, and I don't want to know. But I can tell you that if everybody was doing what God intended, we wouldn't talk a whole lot about budget deficits. I can tell you that if everybody was doing what they needed to do service-wise in the church, we wouldn't be begging for helpers for this, that, and the other thing. It just would not be necessary. And so, in order for us to get things accomplished, we need, in order for us to make an impact, we need to first get together. We need to get it together in our minds and in our hearts of what needs to be done and sharpen our focus. I hesitate to take the time to share this illustration, but I'm going to, because I think it's important. We all know that geese fly in the shape of a V. And so there's research that has been done, and the research shows that as each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately behind it. And by flying in a V, the whole flock together adds at least 71% greater flying range than if they flew on their own. When the head goose gets tired, it slides back, and the next one comes to the front, and they continue to get the work done. They continue to take turns doing the hard jobs so that together they can accomplish their goals. What would happen to a flock of geese if only 20% of them flapped their wings at all? You'd be running over them on the highway, okay? Imagine what it means and how much can be accomplished when every person does their part. So, final questions. How are you doing at demonstrating togetherness? Are you learning? Are you gathering? Are you praying? Are you serving? What is your part? You can rate yourself. How is your part in gathering together a benefit to you? What impact does it make in your life? I don't have time, but I could ask people. People would tell me about their impact in a triad or in a Sunday school class or in men's fraternity or whatever. I have no time to ask. But being together makes a difference. And so the challenge is, for 2011, that we be together with no excuses. And we can come up with them. And next week, we're going to talk about them. And maybe you can come up with a good excuse this week so you, when I ask for volunteers next week, you can share one. One heart. A heart that is undivided. One purpose. Fulfilling what God has placed us here for. Impacting people who impact people who impact people who impact people who will impact more people. And that's where we are.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.